to help them realize that even if you are the only girl at your on your drum line at your school, you have a whole network of people that you can rely on now and like stay in touch with each other, right? And yeah, I just, like I said, I just think it's one of the most valuable things that we even offer here.
Welcome to Femme Forte, a podcast where we celebrate women in music and performing arts. I'm your host, Amanda DeVries. Hello and welcome back. If you are new here, I'm your host, Amanda DeVries, music media professional, experienced performer, and musician. For those of you who are oldie but a goodie, thank you for your support. It's so great to have you. Here's your weekly reminder that one of the easiest things you can do to support the show is by sharing and subscribing. And if you're listening to this on Spotify, you can go ahead and drop some comments and questions in the interactive feature at the bottom of the episode. You can also leave us voicemails either with your thoughts on the show or some questions you'd like us to answer on an upcoming episode. Go to femfortepodcast.com and click the mic button in the corner. I'm so honored to be able to share this episode with you all today. It has been an absolute dream to talk to the founder of Girls March, Rachel Taylor. Motivated by her passion to provide young female percussionists with direct access to female mentorship, Rachel created Girls March, an organization that advocates for women in the marching arts. Her vision is realized through music and leadership seminars with some of the most influential women in the activity. Rachel has performed with world-class drum corps such as Sacramento Mandarins, Phantom Regiment, and Santa Clara Vanguard. In addition, Rachel teaches front ensembles and drum lines in the greater Northern Illinois area, private percussion lessons, performs regularly with various ensembles, and is the percussion manager for the National Youth Orchestra of United States of America. In this episode, we talk about the story behind Girls March and where it all began. As someone who had followed Girls March in high school and now years later interviewed the founder of the organization, words cannot describe how truly proud and honored I am to share this episode with you all. There is nothing more to say than this episode will leave you inspired and speechless. So I hope you enjoy this episode of Femme Forte. Welcome back to Femme Forte. Today I have a very special guest with me. I have Rachel Taylor, the founder of Girls March. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Well, like I said previously, this is such a dream. I am so excited to have you on the show. You are absolutely an inspiration to me. And it is such a wonderful opportunity to just sit here, be in the same room with you, talk to you, and just share your story. Girls March is something that I truly believe in, and I'm just so glad that I have the opportunity to share your story and share Girls March with the rest of the world.
I'm always thrilled to share it with everyone, as many people as I possibly can. In fact, when you told me that you had heard, like you had started following the Girls March page when you were in high school, I had a little mini freak out moment where I was like, oh wait, people knew about this when they were kids and now they're adults, young adults, and they looked up to this organization. It's real. You know, it was a very fun moment last year when we had that conversation.
Yeah. Well, I know your story of how Girls March started, but tell our listeners and our viewers, like, what is Girls March? Where did the foundation start?
Girls March is an organization that advocates for young women in the marching arts, specifically female percussionists, because we are percussionists. And we host summer music and leadership camps for young girls to come and just be around other people like them, people who might look a little bit more like them, learn from people who might look like them. And, we want to give them direct access to female mentorship because I think it's really important that, you know, if you want to like just tangent here. If you want to figure out a way forward in the world, it can be really hard to see that path. It can just look like an overgrown jungle, you know?
Yeah.
And how do you get from one side of the jungle to the other than doing it, right?
Yeah.
Well, one way is to talk to other people who have already done that, and they can teach you where some of those paths are because they were the first people to do that, and they started hacking through the overgrowth, you know? And so now you can start to see that there is a path forward for yourself.
Yeah.
And especially if you see yourself reflected in them, it just makes it feel like you don't have to be the first one to ever do that. Like,
yeah,
there are lots of women who play percussion out there. We're just not all in the same room at the same time sometimes,
yeah,
you know? So like, that's what this is about. It's bringing us all together and all at the same time. I think that's an important part.
Yeah, I mean, as a, you know, female percussionist myself, I mean, like I said, this is the coolest experience ever. And to be not only here with a wonderful staff, but to be here with the students and just see, like, you know, the gleam in their eye and, like, the sense of community. Like, we talked earlier in the panel about how networking is so important. Like, I definitely believe, like, you know, the girls that have come to the camp, like, you know, a large handful of them were go on to do amazing things. And it would be, you know, so cool to be like, oh, yeah, I never remember you from Girls March. I mean, I think I remember like one or two people from last year, like some familiar faces. So it's so amazing, again, what you do. And what year are we in right now?
Huh. Oh, my gosh. this would be year 5 if you count the, well, we didn't do anything in 2020. So yeah. I guess year 4. This is year 4.
Yeah. Well, yeah, this is super amazing. So, you know, now that I know like the backstory of like, you know, where Girls March came from, like, what was it like starting the process of getting Girls March camp together and all that?
It was a lot of asking people questions.
Yeah.
Because I had no idea what I was doing. So I asked everyone I could possibly think of for their advice, like people who had run any kind of summer camp. Luckily, I did have some summer camp experience. I helped with the University of North Texas Marching Percussion Camp for a few years. So I had some of that administrative experience already. But in terms of like starting something from scratch, something that didn't already exist, that was a learning process. I found every possible opportunity I could to go to business workshops. Our public library had a ton of resources. They would have people come out and like talk about just very basic business financials. And then I started going to every single nonprofit thing I possibly could go to learn about fundraising and board stewardship. And it was a lot of things I just didn't know anything about. I started learning how to grant write. And we actually are still not a nonprofit, but I'm starting the process now to make it a nonprofit. Yeah, I thought that maybe we would start it as a business and see how it goes. And I've decided I'm way more familiar with the nonprofit world. So I think we're going to try and make that shift happen. But yeah, just like admitting that you don't know everything and ask everyone you can for feedback and advice and tips. Because, again, there's always somebody who's done something before you have, and you can learn something from them.
Yeah, 100%, exactly. So from where the first camp was to what it's evolved to now, what has that process been like? Like, what changes have you seen from when it was the very first camp at year one to, the, you know, the year four? Like, tell me a little bit about that.
Oh, my goodness. Is it bad to say it actually hasn't changed that much?
No.
In terms of growth, we've certainly grown a lot. So in Illinois, we started with one camp in Illinois, and we had less than 20 students come to that first camp. And from the beginning, it was my vision that we would give everyone an opportunity to try everything, because I felt that that was a really important part of education for young students, but especially young female students. It just seemed like, I think in general, percussionists get pigeonholed. Yeah. But from my personal experience, I didn't touch a drum until college. And I felt like I would have benefited from an experience of just trying something without, like, just needing to know more than other students might have known. Like, in an audition process, right? Like, I didn't want that pressure. So from the beginning, we were going to have everybody try everything. And it's funny because every year I always wonder if it's really worth it, because we do 2 arrangements in 1 week, and it's really stressful, actually, for the kids too, for the students too, because like they usually play a tune on their primary instrument, so an instrument that they're more familiar with, and then the secondary instrument they tend to be less familiar with. And even if you make it an easier arrangement, it can still be really hard.
Yeah,
if you've just like never moved your hands around this way, and you have to learn where all the placements are on the drums for quads. And so it can be really hard for students sometimes, I think, because we get to day 3 of a 4 or 5 day camp, and everyone's just like melting down because they've been learning so much music all week, you know, and they have to like push through that. It gets emotional sometimes for the students. Think about it, like if you're in 7th or 8th grade and you haven't really learned how to count and like sight read 16th note rhythms, or like 1, and like they're literally playing that right now next door. And some of the students have never seen that rhythm before, like a dotted eighth note, 16th note, and they're like panicking. So we're just like shoving so much information in front of their faces that sometimes I wonder if it's really worth it. And I always ask the staff every year, I'm like, do we want to do this? Do we just want to do like one arrangement for high schoolers and one arrangement for middle schoolers? And every year everyone tells me, no, that's like one of the best parts of the camp. So we've kept it so far. I do think we'd have, you know, okay, so we started in Illinois and we moved to Texas, and that was like a totally different experience working with students from different parts of the country and just coming from these like powerhouse Texas band programs. And then we also tried going to Florida. So it's changed in the sense of like we've learned how to make arrangements flexible because we never know what level of students we're going to be working with.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like literally the teachers are on the fly, like changing rhythm sometimes to make it easier. Or in this case, this year, we actually are making some thars harder for some of the kids. Like we have a bass line on the secondary instruments. They're just like killing it. So we just like added a bunch of splits for them, you know? Yeah. Like why not make it harder? But when we were in Texas that first year in Coppell, the students were just like, it was a totally different brand of student than we had worked with. So we did end up adjusting for that one. And I think, if I remember correctly, people just stayed on one instrument all week because it was very much like that's what they came there to do, and they weren't expecting to move around. And so that was kind of like something that we threw at them. And I think not everyone was like open to that. And so like we just wanted to like make it the thing that they like. We wanted to make sure that people got what they wanted out of the camp.
Yeah.
So in the future, when we go back to the North Texas area, that's definitely something we're going to do, is just like a high school group and a middle school group. And just like hopefully we'll have enough people to do a high school front ensemble battery and a middle school front ensemble battery. And that's kind of the plan, is just like have different models depending on what the students need. Yeah. And where they're at in their musical journeys, because we're all in different parts of our musical journeys.
Yeah. And I love that you talked about like exposing them to like different rhythms. I know, you know, where the eye-opening thing for me was when I actually auditioned for drum corps, was, you know, you get up, you know, your drumline warm-up packet, and you see like all these different rhythms that you've never seen before. And I realized, like, after meeting so many people that came from different programs, like there's different levels, right? And I think it's that exposure. Like, I truly think, like, musically, I don't think I ever would have progressed to the level that I was playing at had I not been exposed to it in the first place. And then from there, that's where, you know, the ideas are turning with improvisation and like soloing and stuff like that. So I very much value the sense that, yeah, like, you know, the music that you're going to get is a little bit difficult than what you're used to, but it's very viable for your growth and building as a musician.
Absolutely. We were literally just having that conversation yesterday with some of the middle school students. Yeah, we're kind of throwing high school rep at you. But like, how cool is that? That you're going to know that already? So when you get into your band program, you can basically show up all your other friends and be like, look at what I know how to do now, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, the sooner you can get that to them, the better. Because students, especially younger students, they don't know what's hard, you know? Mm-hmm. So if you don't tell them it's hard, they usually just figure it out and they just do it, you know?
Yeah.
So then they have a better foundation and more solid foundation as they continue to move up. And I think vice versa, you know, I think there are students that come to this camp where things are a little too easy for them. But I do, like, we do try and find time for them to like meet with, like go play with Eliana and chop out, like go have Paige Durr show them some crazy grids, you know, and do some different things with them. And I think it's also valuable. We really emphasize with those girls who are a little bit older, this is an opportunity for you to work on yourself. Maybe not so much as a musician, but as a leader.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, it's really fun. I've seen some students here really take that to heart. Mm-hmm. And it's been amazing to be, like, in rehearsal and we'll be, like, working on something. And I'll see one of the high schoolers lean over to the middle schoolers and be like, it's like this. You know, they're, like, showing them the sticking, or they're, like, telling them about a stroke type or something. And just watching them actively realizing that, like, oh, they want me to practice these skills, and like this is a good opportunity to practice those skills, and seeing them apply it in real time is really, really amazing.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's one of the things cool that too about this camp that I think is really cool, is like yes, you, you know, primarily come here to like play music and everything, but like there is value in behind that in like the mentorship, the networking, the community and friendship that, you know, you get to foster while you're here. Like I think building upon those leadership skills and growing more like as like a person in general, I think is like super, super awesome.
Yeah. And like, I know we don't play as much as we should during this camp. We do a ton of master classes and we do at least one leadership activity a day. We usually start the day with leadership activities and it ends up being like maybe 4 or 4.5 hours of playing every day.
Yeah.
And it's a day camp from like 9 to 4. So like, that's a lot of time. It's like, it's like a little more than half that we're playing. Yeah. And the rest of the time we're talking a lot. We have a lot of conversations and we try and go deeper. And I just really think it's important because I think there are a lot of music camps out there. If you just want to go play music, there's a lot of things that you can go do and just focus on that.
Yeah.
Like I think a drum corps camp is a lot like that, honestly. Like if you want to go, like if that's what your eyes are set on, like go do that for sure. The value that I think we provide is so far beyond just the musical. And so that's why I really try and focus on it. Like even today, a really quick example, we do at the end of the week, after the girls are more comfortable with each other and they know each other a little bit better, we do a problem solving activity. And we get them to talk about something that is unresolved from their past, something that didn't go the way they wanted it to go, or something that like really hurt their feelings or left them feeling confused or embarrassed. And it's one of my favorite parts of the whole week, honestly, because you see high schoolers and middle schoolers, exactly what you're talking about, mentoring each other. Yeah. Like the high schoolers are telling the middle schoolers like, oh yeah, that totally happened to me too. And this is how I dealt with it. And they're giving each other solutions and ways to go forward. A lot of students don't think about going to their teachers and saying, hey, I need this from you, or I have a question about this, or when this happens in class, like in band class, maybe this could be handled differently. So we talk a lot about self-advocacy and communication, and that again, like I said, the problem-solving aspect of it and getting them to realize that they're not alone and they're all experiencing these things simultaneously in different parts of wherever they're coming from, the state, the country. I mean, we do have a girl from Georgia here this year and we're in Texas. So they're like, we're literally like networking these girls from across the country to help them realize that even if you are the only girl on your drum line at your school, you have a whole network of people that you can rely on now and like stay in touch with each other. Right.
Yeah.
And I just think it's one of the most valuable things that we even offer here.
No, that's truly amazing. There's another success story too. I believe that's on your website. And it was the girl with their mom, like in terms of feeling inspired to also like take drum lessons. Like, can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah. Okay. So we have a student that's actually come to 3 girls marches in a row.
Yeah.
She was originally from North Texas. They drove down to the Houston camp last year and now they live here in Sugar Land.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. She's actually going to go to this high school.
That's so cool.
Next year. Yeah. But yeah, her mom had told me that first year that I met her, that she always wanted to play drums and it was something that she really, really wanted. And so she made sure that her daughter got to come to this camp because she wanted to support her. And she said, my dad told me I can't play drums. Girls don't play drums. Right.
Yeah.
Well, after that first camp, her mom started taking drum set lessons.
Yeah.
And then she reached out to me and was like, I'm looking for people to play with. Can I like get an offer? Like, who should I be looking for? Are there groups that I can be, you know, in touch with? So I like gave her some suggestions and some resources to go find other drummers, other women drummers, other ways to get connected with other musicians in her community. Yeah. And she ended up auditioning for a community jazz band and got a position playing drum set in a community jazz band.
That is so cool.
Isn't that? And she literally had never played drums until 3 years ago. And she is a grown adult, has children and a whole life. And she tried and she wanted to do something. She had always wanted to do something. And she went out there and did it. And I just think it's so inspiring that even for her daughter, like she's watching her mom do something new for the first time and succeeding at it.
Yeah.
I think that's a good lesson too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, and the cool thing is like Girls March is like the impact is far beyond just the students that come here. Like, I mean, like I said, I never came to this camp myself, but like it's already impacted me. Like, and to be honest, it's part of like the inspiration behind this whole project, like this whole podcast, you know?
And so
that's why I wholeheartedly believe in everything that you're doing. I mean, even the panel, like everybody believes in you. And like, I think it's just super special what you're doing, and all more the reason why I'm so honored and so humbled to like be able to like give you the mic to share your story. And it's absolutely, truly amazing.
I'm thrilled to be able to share it. So thanks for creating a podcast that is going to feature stories like ours, you know, stories like mine. And it means a lot to me to hear that something like Girls March has inspired you to start something too. I mean, it really does come from nothing, and to make something from nothing is really hard.
Yeah.
Lots of people can have ideas.
Yeah.
But acting on those ideas, like you were saying earlier, right?
Yeah.
Acting on those ideas is a totally different thing. It's
exactly.
You have to be brave, and you have to have I guess vision. And I don't even know that I really did not believe in myself. I'm just gonna say that. Like, I did not believe in myself. I still struggle with that sometimes. But when Sandy Renick is sitting in the room and she's saying, "I believe in you," that's hard to not like internalize.
Yeah.
You know? And she's somebody that I've looked up to my whole life and was like my mentor and my I'm getting emotional about it because it just means so much to hear from her. And like, if I can't believe in myself, like I'm doing something wrong. Like if Sandy Renick says she believes in me, then I better believe in myself too. And it just means so much to get that from somebody and to know that how much that makes me feel, like how that makes me feel and how much that pushes me to do this every single year. I just want to give that back to other students. You know, I just want them to know that we believe in them and we think they can do anything. And that I hope that when they leave this camp, that's one of the things that they come away from this camp. I hope that's one of the feelings that they come away with from this camp is just, I can do anything. And the teachers there believe in me.
Yeah.
So even if I'm struggling with something at home, I can lean on this, you know, and have some kind of foundation of kind of confidence building, you know?
Well, you know, we talk about the impact that it has, you know, far beyond on everybody else, but you know, even you getting a little emotional about it, like what impact has it had on you? Has it made you like, you know, is it that confidence builder in you? Is it, you know, that redefining purpose for you? Like what impact has just you as a founder and the person who started this, like how has it come back to you?
Yeah. Yes. So I've always been the type of person that that if I acknowledge that I do anything well, I feel dirty. I don't like that feeling. I don't want to be like, yes, I'm good at this. I have a hard time acknowledging that I am good at things, anything. I don't like that because I know that there's always something to do. There's always something that you can get better at and there's always room to grow. It's the endless journey that we're on, especially as musicians.
Yeah.
But that also factors in that whole perfectionist thing and always trying to be perfect and how that's just so unreasonable. I've realized as I've gotten older that that endless need to feel like I'm humble, like being humble and being careful and I never want to be cocky, that has actually hurt me in some ways because I have struggled with the self-confidence thing in the past, and I definitely have struggled with the imposter syndrome, and like I still do. I definitely think I still do. But this camp, like the vision of wanting to make this organization a real thing has given me a purpose beyond myself. And I think you said this in your podcast episode too, but at some point I was like, you know what? If I don't do this, someone else will, you know? And then I realized like, okay, and if someone else will, like, what if I don't like their version of it?
Yeah.
So then I was like, no, I feel really passionate about this thing. And so that was like one moment of realizing that I really did kind of believe in something that I came, like something in my own vision for something.
Yeah.
And then continue, like, and then when I brought all these teachers in and my friends, and people, I mean, I've like Jamise, when I brought Jamise on, I had never met Jamise in person, you know, and like bringing her to this camp has been so amazing. I love working with her, you know, and I would not have met her if it weren't for like Hit Like a Girl contest, for example, and like seeing her videos online and then just like connecting with her casually over Instagram and then deciding, you know what, I think we need a different perspective, because she comes from the HBCU world.
Yeah.
And that is a totally different vibe than the DCI world and the WGI world. And I started realizing that like, it's so important to have different voices in the room. It's just always so important. So when we brought her in, her style of teaching was so different and also so refreshing, and the students connected with her in different ways, you know? Mm-hmm. So like I said, I've worked with people that I've known for a long time, but this project has also brought me new friends and new collaborators. And that has been so valuable, again, to that confidence building aspect, honestly, because I've also been the type of person to always go, oh, they don't really like me, they're just being nice, you know, which is so like self-destructive, you know, you just eat away at yourself saying stuff like that, you know. This project has allowed me to find self-love through, yes, through other people, but also for me to understand that like it doesn't have to come from other people. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, I finally have been able to give myself the permission to acknowledge that like maybe people do like me, and like they're not just being nice. They're not coming to teach this camp because they're being nice. No, they believe in me and they believe in this. And so that ability to just acknowledge that like, this is, people want to work with me. People want to be here. They believe in the vision and they believe in me, and that those things go hand in hand. And I don't need to make myself smaller necessarily to be humble. I can still be humble and also acknowledge that this is important. Like both things can be true. I never want to be somebody who comes across as somebody who knows everything already, mm-hmm. you know, and anyway, just being able to find that line between, no, you can be confident and also not a jerk.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, same thing here. It's like I deal with the same thing, even this podcast. Like, I am not going to sit here and tell you that I am the best podcast host ever, but I also, in, you know, promoting this, like when I'm on the road and stuff, like I do try to approach it with a level of confidence. Like, yes, I really believe in this project, and I've really worked hard to do it at such a high level, because I mean, right now we have cameras in front of us, and there's not a lot of podcasts, especially like in our world, that try to put it to the high degree that I'm doing it. And in all actuality, I don't really have a team behind me. It's all me. I'm like doing all the audio editing. I am doing all the like back end camera work. So I totally agree and understand that. And I think it's so beautiful, and like that's why I asked you that question, in the journey that you've seen, you know, not only are you giving back to, you know, your community and our community, but the community is giving something back to you.
Always.
Yeah.
Always.
So I actually saw, remind me, you went to like some kind of women empowerment conference recently. I don't remember where was. Like, mm-hmm. tell me about what that was. Cause I don't believe that was really for like female percussionists. I think it was just for like women in general. Like, and I wanted to reach out and I totally forgot, cause I think I was like busy doing something at that moment. But yes, tell me like where that opportunity came from.
The internet. So like the benefit, That is 100% something that came from simply having a website, mm-hmm. and a well-designed brand and presence on social media. So if you're looking for tips about how you can get gigs like that, that's 100%. I mean, I didn't expect that to ever come my way.
Yeah.
And I'll get into it. But like, that's definitely, most of the time it's who you know, right? Yeah. But in this one case, yeah, it was literally the Google, you know, they were just searching stuff and we came up. So we did this session for the Young Women's Leadership Conference in Dallas.
Okay.
And this is a conference that happens every year at mm-hmm. the AT&T Performing Arts Center.
Oh, wow.
Which is also the Windspear Opera House, I believe. It's like one and the same, or like it's an umbrella. I think the AT&T. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. So they sent me an email and it was like, hi, we're looking for presenters at our conference and we found your website and we saw that a lot of your instructors are from the Dallas area. Would you like to come do this? And at first I get a lot of like scammy things too.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was looking at it going, is this real? And so I was like Googling, start like Facebooking people's names on the emails. And I figured out it was a real thing. You know, I found their website and everything. So I reached back out and was like, okay, well, what are you interested in? What do you want us to do? And I learned that it is a conference for students in a specific couple of school districts in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
They bus the students over like halfway through their school day.
Yeah.
And they just come to this conference and they have about 150 girls that go. They're all high school aged. And they try and get, they have a keynote speaker, you know, they have, and then they have three session leaders and they like rotate the girls through like 45 minute sessions.
Yeah.
And usually they try and have some kind of like, you know, leadership scenarios type situation. Like they have all sorts of different things. Like the year before us, they did like an African drumming session. They've also done, anyway, it's like through the arts. It's specifically trying to like have like communications, people who specialize in communication, people who specialize in business leadership. They've had journalists come, and the first year that they did it, Michelle Obama showed up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's like a high profile thing. So, when they asked us to present, I was like, sure, but what do you want us to do, you know? Yeah. And so I was actually talking to another friend and he was like, what if, like, do they want a drum? What if you got like a whole drum line there and they could play? And so I emailed UNT, since I went there, and I copied Dynasty, and I emailed everybody on the team between UNT and Dynasty and said, how possible would it be for us to take the entire UNT drumline to the AT&T Performing Arts Center and have some girls who are not musicians play some drums?
Yeah.
And to my surprise, everyone was like, yes, whatever you need, like for free, just do it. And I was not expecting that kind of support, you know, because I mean, there's like drum corps camps happening. Like UNT is a place that people rehearse at. It's a whole thing to like go pick up the drums, you know? So Dynasty provided the truck. We loaded them all up. We took them over there. And Eliana, Sandy, and I came up with a lesson plan where we just like wrote a very basic groove. We like taught them the basics of the groove. And then we had them go into little, we did experiential learning kind of. No, that's not what my session was called. Anyway, it's I can't remember what it was called now. But we had them go into to section groups like quads, centers, basses.
Mm-hmm.
Quad, snares, basses, and we had them like improvise some rhythm. So we would like play the groove for four bars and then be like, improvise basses, thing that you learned, and then groove, and then snares, and then groove, and then tenors. And so the whole point was that if you can experience something together, like as a leader, if you can create an experience that you have together,
mm-hmm.
it can be very simple. It can be going and golfing together outside of your, you know, mini golfing or like go-karting or whatever. Like, if you want to lead, you have to get to know the people you're leading and you have to get them to trust you. And when you experience things together, they're more willing. Those bonds have been created and now you can move forward together, right? So it was a very simple thing. Like, you all are not drummers, but you're going to remember this probably forever because you're going to be like, remember that time we just played drums one day?
Yeah.
And that's like a really good way to connect and form a very basic, like, bonding moment where we did this together once.
Yeah.
And then from there you can lead. And then we also did the co-creation aspect, right? They had to co-create these moments of improvisation together, which actually ended up being really hard for them because they're not musicians. So like we would play a groove for a while and then we would try and figure out an improv thing and then they would forget the thing that they created or whatever. Because it's hard. It's hard to keep all those things in your head if you don't have anything to like relate it to physically or if you've just never done anything like this before.
Yeah.
But it didn't matter, right? It didn't matter because they got to experience what it's like to have people be invested and co-create together, which is, I think, is another really important part of leadership and effective leadership.
Yeah.
Getting people to buy in and feeling like they have some partial ownership in what it is that you're creating, right? Your section and your marching band is not you. Your section and your marching band is everyone. So you have to figure out a way to get them all to buy in. How do they feel like it's theirs too, and not just the band directors or just the student leader, right?
And now a word from our sponsors. Femme Forte is sponsored by Girls March. Imagine walking into a drumline or front ensemble audition and only seeing other girls there. It may be tough to picture. Girls March offers seminars for young women in the marching arts because this rarely, if ever, happens. As a female percussionist myself, this is something I wish I had growing up. Girls March is offering a camp this upcoming summer. Register now at girlsmarch.org. So we talked a lot about, you know, Girls March and, you know, the why behind it, but where did the origin story for you of why you wanted to start this in the first place come from?
So I think it really started in college. I remember distinctly at the University of North Texas, sitting in our class, in the class, the rep class on Fridays, where everybody was required to get up and perform a certain amount of times. I think it's at least once a semester. Oh man, this feels so long ago. I barely even remember the details, but I do remember this very distinctly.
Yeah.
I remember sitting in the audience and watching another woman performing and having this ugly feeling of not really wanting her to succeed. Of like almost, I think I did want her to fail. And that's like not a good feeling.
Yeah.
I don't think of myself as like, I don't think anybody thinks they're a bad person, first of all.
Yeah.
But like in that moment, I had this moment where I was like, wait, this is not me. This is not me.
Yeah.
This is this, but like I am having this thought right now.
Yeah.
Where is this coming from? And of course, we have all been in situations, I think, we as in people who have done a lot of drum corps and like music in college and this, like I think we've all been in competitive situations.
Yeah.
And it can be a really intense place to be. Mm-hmm. Studying music in college is not easy. And there's a lot of this feeling like there's not enough room for everybody. And without having that, and it just feels like you're being pitted against each other a lot of the times.
Yeah.
Because there's only one spot in the jazz band or whatever. And like, or there's only five percussionists for the orchestra. And so like, you're constantly just competing. Now, a lot of times that's a good thing, right? Like you push each other and you grow because of that, like mutual education, just from like being around people who are better than you, you're going to like elevate your performance. Right.
Yeah.
But in that moment, I was like, no, this is a bad thought to have. And no one should think this. And why am I thinking this? And so I really started to do some thinking about just the atmosphere and the environment that I was in at the time and that part of my life. And I just remember thinking, I don't want to be this person. I don't want to be like this. I need to make a change.
Yeah.
And I had always been one of those people who had said things like I don't have very many female friends, you know? And I'm sure I said something along the lines of like, girls are just more dramatic, right? Like I get along with guys better because they're not so dramatic. And that's not even true. The more I thought about it, the more I realized that I kind of felt alone. And part of that aloneness was feeling like whenever I walked into a room, us as women, we were constantly looking at each other kind of like, there can only be one girl here, you know, one girl good enough to be around the guys or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I didn't like that sense of scarcity because it's a myth. Scarcity is a myth and there's room for everyone, especially in real life after college. I guess that's not always true. Like if you're trying to get a top orchestra job, there's not room for everyone. And like, but that's like a specific, you know, path that you can take.
Mm-hmm.
In the real world, if you're trying to like do anything creative, there is room for you,
period.
End of story. Everyone's voice, there's room for everyone and their style and their whatever they want to bring to the table. So this aloneness I was feeling, I decided to start challenging my thoughts. And I didn't realize this at the time, but what I'm talking about is internalized misogyny. I'm talking about growing up in patriarchal society. I didn't know that at the time. I was just like wrestling with these complicated feelings of like, why do I just inherently sometimes not like other women? And that is not right, you know? Yeah. So then I decided one day, I'm just gonna have all the girls who are percussionists here at UNT. We're just gonna get together and we're gonna do like a percussion girl hang.
Yeah.
And we did that and it was so fun. And we realized that we weren't like so, like we were kind of scared of each other in some ways.
Yeah.
And so when we were in that situation where we could just like hang out and talk and outside of the music building and be away from like the concerts and the auditions and everything, and we just started to get to know each other as people, and it was just so fun. And we started to establish this like mutual support and understanding, and we started realizing that we all had these thoughts and we kind of all had these feelings, and we were kind of able to move past them in a lot of ways. And maybe that's just part of maturing. Maybe everybody needs to go through like a competitive phase in some way. But I also have seen it. I know it exists. I've seen it other places. It doesn't always have to be that way. And again, I'm not saying competition is inherently bad. I think competition breeds innovation and creativity. I'm just saying, I think there is a level of toxic competition that I think we can try to avoid. And I think that's really where Girls March kind of started, was back in college and just wondering, like challenging my own feelings about why I felt so alienated by other women, and also why I was so afraid to just be friends with other women. In fact, I actually remember the symphonic band rehearsal that I had a symphonic band rehearsal, and there was another girl in the section, and I just really admired her. I thought she was an incredible musician. And after rehearsal one day, I remember it was like asking her out on a date. Basically, I was like nervous. I was so nervous. I like walked up to her and I was like, "So, do you want to hang out sometime?" No, I did not know her at all. Yeah. I just knew that she had March Vanguard and she's like a killer marimba player. I thought she was just an amazing musician, you know? And she was like, "Yeah, sure. What do you want to do?" And I was like, "I don't know. Like, what do you like to do, you know?" And do you like to bake cookies? Like, do you like to bake? Do you like to cook? You know? And we decided that we would like get together and bake cookies. And that's like the first thing we did. Yeah. And we became best friends. And we would sight read together every single day. We would like take out the well-tempered clavier and she would read bass clef and I would read treble clef and we like play everything together and then we'd swap.
Yeah.
You know? And we were in symphonic band together. I don't think we were in very many percussion ensembles together, but we ended up playing some duets on my recital. Some duets. We played one duet on my recital. And she's still one of my best friends to this day. So, you know, it's just, if I had not had that kind of deconstruction happening in my brain, there's no way I would have met her. And I really felt like I found somebody who just really understood me and we just like got along really well as friends, you know?
Yeah.
And if I had never thought like, maybe I should challenge my thinking on this, then we wouldn't be friends.
Yeah.
And like I would have missed out on this beautiful friendship that I still rely on today. So it's blossomed out from that, obviously, because now I can teach a camp with all these incredible women and we just are just so happy to be around each other. And there's no reason to feel competitive, you know. I do think in real life we are often, I think women in general are pitted against each other just in society.
Mm-hmm.
Like who's the prettiest person in the room? Who's the, you know, just things like that, you know.
Exactly.
There's like all this weird like hidden competition happening all the time.
Yeah.
So this camp, it really feels rebellious that way.
Yeah.
We're really challenging those things. And I hope that the girls that come to this camp don't feel that.
Yeah. I've said this on a previous episode before, but it all comes down to there's this quote that goes, when you like feel like you've made it or you feel like you're well established, instead of building a higher fence, you build a longer table. And I can't take credit for that quote. That actually came from a podcast I listened to. But I so much value and believe in that which, you know, fostering a community and, you know, as cliche as it sounds, like spreading love is like way better than putting, you know, like you said, pitting people against each other in competition. And so all more to, you know, what this is about. Like, yeah, like I don't want for me, like where this started was, you know, there are people out there like and today is a clear example of people who want to share that knowledge to help people progress in their career. Because like, yeah, like it's true. Like these girls are the next generation, but you can't think of them as like, oh, one day they're going to be better musicians than me and then take my job. No, that's not the point. It's like, at least in my opinion, getting to like the performance level, like when I was a lot younger, it seemed almost impossible. And maybe it is still, you know, fairly difficult to this day. But one of the things of, you know, part of like the career advice and empowerment part of this podcast is being able to talk to people who are kicking ass in the industry and being able to share that knowledge. That way someone, you know, someone like me at my younger self can listen to that and be like, oh, I can do that too.
And also just like, if you are a person with a career already, if you don't know what the next step is to do like some other part of your career, listening to a podcast like this would connect you to people who are doing those things.
Yeah.
and that's a resource, right? I mean, professional development is a thing, and constantly learning. Like, we are all students. We are all learning and all the time. I think the best teachers think of themselves as lifelong learners.
Yeah.
So of course we're going to be looking for other people who are doing a good job, period. Yeah. Other people who are doing a good job. And a lot of them are women. And sometimes we just can't find those voices. So this is a great opportunity to do exactly that.
Yeah, no, that's truly amazing. Well, we're just about to wrap up here, but out of curiosity, when Rachel Taylor is not doing Girls March, what are you doing?
So many things. I have a lot of jobs. I wear a lot of hats. But I have a private lesson studio of about 20 students, and I teach at a couple high schools. I teach the drumline at Waubonsie Valley High School, and also as of this last year, I just finished my first year as the director of percussion at Prospect High School.
Yeah.
And I also play in an ensemble called Progetto Arco Musicale. We are a Berenbau sextet, and we play music that we commission and sometimes write for our ensemble for the Berenbau. So I really enjoy performing. I've always enjoyed ensemble playing. It's a really important part of my identity as a musician. And it's actually one of the only things that I will like brag about sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm like, yes, I'm actually a very good ensemble player. I will like give myself that one thing. Like, I'm very proud of the ensemble playing experience that I have. I feel like I can play right with somebody, you know, I can sound exactly like them. And I like that aspect of chamber music. I've always liked chamber music much more than playing by myself on a stage. I've always hated that.
Yeah.
I think the group musical experience is really important. I just want that to always be a part of my life. Trying to think if there are other things. I also work with the National Youth Orchestra of the USA.
Yes.
In July, I'll be going to New York. I'm their percussion manager. So I just make sure we have all the equipment we need for all the pieces we're playing. And then when we go on tour, making sure we have all the instruments we need on tour. This year, we're going up to Canada and Quebec, and then all the way down to through Jackson Hole, down to like San Diego. So I'm very much a behind the scenes person there.
Mm-hmm.
It's really amazing to work. I don't really work with them, honestly. I mean, I like meet them and I'm around a lot,
mm-hmm.
but just to be around those students is amazing because they're just like achieving at the highest possible level. These are students that often go on to Juilliard and things like this.
Yeah.
So, I have a lot of like administrative experience and I try and work that in too. And the teaching aspect though, that's always been my passion. The teaching is really important to me.
What's next for Girls March? What's next for you?
Next up, we are looking for some consistency in locations. So I think most immediately, I would like to start alternating between North Texas and South Texas every other year and reaching different communities biannual basis. And then we're also doing another camp in Florida this summer, actually, July 7th and 8th, in Oviedo, which is I think just north of Orlando. We're working with Infinity Percussion. Gio Bastanti's over there. And I mean, she also works with the Santa Clara Vanguard. So, I mean, this is somebody that I've also admired for a really long time from far away. And when she was like, hey, do you want to do a girls march here? I want to help you organize it. I was like, yes, yes, let's make that happen. So always looking for the next place to collaborate, like the next people to collaborate with, the next place to take the camp. And also, of course, just trying to grow it all the time. I've actually found that in some places it is kind of hard to like find the right people and get them and get the marketing to the right people. But I mean, it's my dream that this camp regularly has, you know, 50 to 100 people coming every time. And I think we can get there. And it certainly happened in Coppell for the first time. You know, we had 50 people at that camp. And so it's just a matter of like finding the right people to reach out to and making sure that the girls know that it's happening, you know. And things like this are a really good ways to make sure that people know, like, make sure you check our website, girlsmarch.org. Make sure you're staying in touch with us on Instagram at Girls March. Make sure you're connected so that when these camps happen, you'll be there or your students will be there. Like, send your students, right? And yeah, so thinking beyond that, I think I think a long time ago when this first started, not even that long ago, I think when this first started, I had this original vision of maybe Girls March being more than just percussion. And maybe that's still possible. Maybe reaching out to women in brass, you know, I think that they often have similar struggles that we do. It's just, sometimes it's scary to even think about it that way though, because like, if we start branching out, like, it's just going to get so big, you know? But like, also, how beautiful would that be to have like not just an entire female drumline, but like in front ensemble, but also like an entire female band? Like, what would that look like? And would that be valuable? Is that something people are looking for? I know that there are schools that offer things like that already, like leadership academies for women and things like that. But it's definitely something I've thought about. Like, what would it look like to expand beyond percussion and try and reach other sections and other parts of the band that probably experience similar things that we do.
Awesome. Well, thank you once again for being on the show.
It's always a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to Femme Forte. Femme Forte is produced and hosted by me, Amanda DeFries. Music is by Humans Win. To learn more about our guests, sponsors, and get more resources, go to FemmeFortePodcast.com and follow us on social media at Femme Forte Podcast.